Mr. Whiting, reel 6. You were telling me about the dismantling of these Russian posts.
Well, that was really at the time that Americans and some sort of units of American army started to be seriously interested in running the camp, because in the few first days it was just the front line soldiers passed through the area and left us without any organization or any authorities. So that was the problem with the Russians. But they, of course, the prisoners quickly started to disappear. I mean, all the German prisoners disappeared and went home without any further formalities. Also, the other categories of prisoners, like Czechs, went home. There were some Jewish, some German Jews in the camp, but only very small number. They actually been in a privileged situation. They, for some reason, Germans put them through a training, and they were all made bricklayers. And as bricklayers, they were skilled people. And for that reason, they were in a privileged situation. So there was no question of persecuting Jews by Germans in Buchenwald. And these Jews, being German Jews, also disappeared, went home. So after a while, only Poles left behind. Not only that, but also Poles who were in Germany on forced labor were not political prisoners in concentration camps, but were on forced labor camps. They were also put in Buchenwald by Americans for the sake of being supplied with food. So in the end, it was just Polish camp. I have personally occupied the telephone exchange of the camp, which was much well furnished. And so that was for some, perhaps a month or so. And then, of course, that area, according to the to some international agreement, was going to be occupied by Red Army. So Americans were put up few trains, and whoever wanted to not to stay behind could board the train and be taken out of that area. So two such trains, good trains, were evacuated from Buchenwald, and I was on one of them.
What was your own attitude towards communism at that time?
Well, I didn't want to stay behind.
Did you see any of those private German prisoners that the Russians had in Buchenwald?
I didn't, no. I don't think actually they kept them in the camp. They have, I think, kept them some in these various posts they have manned. I only heard that announcement.
What happened to you once you got out of the range of the Russian army?
Yes, well, Americans were not quite clear what to do with these planes. So we were run all over the country. And from time to time we were on a siding or near a town, and I think that nobody wanted us. So we were put on another journey and so on. In the end, we landed in a small town, and don't quite remember which one, but some German barracks, army barracks, and we disembarked this train and were put in these barracks. I don't think that Americans were very clear how to deal with the situation, really. Because after a while, we were again put on army lorries and shifted to another town and put in an empty a theater just to camp there. After a while, because this theater was in a small town, they decided to disperse us. So they put us again on the army lorry, and every lorry went to another village. And the village was supposed to take care of us, of that one lorry. In other words, we have noticed that Americans had not very clear idea what to do with us. We were not very happy of being taken care of by German villagers who were rather prejudiced. So in the end, you see, this, as I said, in Buchenwald, in the end, we were not the only the political prisoners of were not the only people, but also other Poles there. So we have over these journeys, I have found myself in a group of about a dozen of the old prisoners who were kept together, and we have decided to go back to this empty theater in that town and stay there. Come what may, we're better off away from that village, from the care of the German villagers. And we have then gone to the American commandant of that town, said that we want some supplies, and we are staying here, and we are not going anywhere. So we were supplied with some food there. But it was all a transition situation. Of course, it was nothing permanent about it. So we have decided that group of us, we were in the area south of Munich, which was near the border with Austria and not very far from Italy. So we have decided to organize a transport to go and join the Polish army in Italy. So we have persuaded the German, the American commandant of that town that if he gives us a transport, then he will have no problem with us anymore. We will just go away. So he did give us a bus with a German driver, and he took us to prisoners of war, Polish camp, which is Murnau, which is an Oflag, an old Oflag camp, which was for Polish officers only. And we, from this camp, was already in communication with the Polish army in Italy. And so one of us went over to Italy and persuaded there that we are urgently needed by the Polish army, so they should send a lorry to us, for us, and take us. And we have that way found ourselves in Italy and joined the army. And that was the end of our problems.
When was this that you joined the Polish army in Italy?
It was in September 45.
One point which we have not talked about was the tattooing of prison numbers in Auschwitz. Some prisoners have no tattoos. I personally never been tattooed. Mainly the tattooing was done in Birkenau. And I think that after I have Auschwitz camp number one, perhaps some of these prisoners were tattooed there as well, that I am not sure. But the reason, I believe, was that in beginning of 1942 and in later years, the camps started to be such a shambles in disorganization. So, and also the treatment of prisoners were such that sometimes you have come across a dead body and you didn't know who was the prisoner and could not identify the prisoner. So for that reason, tattooing was instituted in order to mainly to identify dead bodies. As I was in camp number one, which was at in my times still in fairly good organization, the tattooing was not necessary. Another thing which we did not mention was the bombing of Buchenwald. This was done by American Air Force, and it was because of the factory attached to Buchenwald in the same grounds as the camp, which was manufacturing various military equipment. This was one part of the factory was manufacturing rifles. Another part was manufacturing the artillery equipment for the desert army, painted in desert colors, and the Germans were only then started to assemble a production line for V2 missiles. This, once they started to assemble that, the bombing occurred, so that no V2 was ever produced there, because the factory was nearly completely destroyed.
Any prisoners killed?
Yes, there were casualties. What happened was that the camp was considered by Germans as very safe for them for that sort of occurrence. It was never bombed before, and they thought that it is the German civilians and guards were striving to be attached to Buchenwald because of that point that they believed that Allies do not know about Buchenwald. But the bombing was, I don't quite remember the exact moment, but it was certainly before the Warsaw Uprising, but in 1944, perhaps early 1944, in the summer months it was. And for some time, at that time, the American raids on Germany were so massive that they were overflying the Buchenwald every day. But always at high altitude, so Germans were still feeling very safe. But one day they came and they obviously came to bomb just Buchenwald because it was the scout little plane which made smoke circle, and then the main body of the bombers came along and dropped the bombs, and that was that. Now, the bombs, first of all, they were solid big bombs exploding just in the factory area. None of it went into the camp, which was really adjoining the area of factory. So it was that precise. It was in full sunshine. And there was the usual siren alarm given, and we were told to evacuate the factory into the forest, which was still, of course, guarded by a chain of guards. So we were not let out altogether out of control, but we were told to evacuate it into the forest. But after they have bombed, they have then dropped the incendiary bombs, which were small. And for that reason, they were shifted by wind onto the forest where the people were, and there were many casualties from the small bombs, the incendiary bombs. And for that reason, the factory was not damaged by fire, but only by the explosions. Also, the regiment, the barracks of the regiment was not damaged. But not only prisoners, but also the German guards were killed and wounded. So there was a lot of panic. But in all this lasted quarter of an hour, and it passed. But the panic was such that next day Weimar was bombed, which was several miles away, but the camp, the guards in the camp and the prisoners in the camp were behaving as in this panicky way because they were suffering from the panic on the previous day. So it was a massive raid. So you can also add that the bombing of Buchenwald factory was of course very precise, because all the bombs really gone onto the factory only, and none of the bombs ever touched the camp, which was adjoining the factory, the area of the factory was quite big area, but the panic was such that the guards which were surrounding the whole area, which was the routine during the day, the whole area was surrounded by chain of guards only during the day, because during the night everybody was in the camp. So these guards which were surrounding the forest area also panicked and ran away from their posts, and for that reason the some prisoners also ran away from the area and escaped the camp. Nevertheless, it was dangerous for any prisoner to be on the loose in the country, because at that time, which was in the middle of 1944, the German organization, they organized something like the Home Army here, which was called Landsarmee. In any case, it was the people who were either too old for regular service, or otherwise it was Hitlerjugend, which was, they were too young for the regular service. And they were given the task and the authority to shoot anybody outside. And because the prisoners were marked by the numbers, by the by being shaved, by various other signs, because in Buchenwald the striped uniforms were not worn, like in Auschwitz. In Auschwitz, they were all in uniforms, the prison uniforms, which were the striped uniform. In Buchenwald, this was not the custom. They were in civilian clothes given to prisoners. They were not the own, their own clothing, but the clothing from the collected from perhaps the Jews which were gassed in Auschwitz, and only these civilian clothes were marked in such a way that a patch of was cut out of at the back of the jacket and at the side of the trousers, and the patch was then the striped material was put in, and in that way it was obviously a prisoner attire, quite apart from being shaved and being numbered and so on. So it was very dangerous to be on the loose in the country. So after a few days, these prisoners who did escape started to drift back into the camp. And after the bombing, there were several days which there was no work being done because of the disruption. But the commandant of that camp, of Buchenwald camp, had started to have what amounted to pep talks to the prisoners, saying, praising those who came back and those who helped the injured guards, and that sort of things, in order to take control of the camp again, because which was totally disorganized, and not only by the physical damage, but also by the fact that the guards were under the influence of panic and a very low they were feeling very low.
So would any of the prisoners have got scot-free?
It is possible, I don't know. And many, perhaps some of them were killed. Maybe some of them escaped. If they were Germans, perhaps they knew the way of merging in the countryside.